worship, so I invite you to please stand as you're able. Today we will continue with our parables of watchful servants. We begin our service this morning in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We take a moment to confess in the silence of our hearts. Now we confess our sins as a community of faith. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Hear this good news in the mercy of Almighty God. Jesus Christ was given to die for you, and for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. So those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God, and he bestows on them his Holy Spirit. Amen. We sing our opening hymn. The compassion of Christ and the hope of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, and to all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord be with you, and also with you.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, light of the world, you have promised to return at the end of the age. Though we do not know the hour, you have given us your Holy Spirit to guard our hearts and minds until you come in glory. Make us vigilant and faithful as we await your return, for you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Invite the congregation to be seated. Invite our children to come.
Good morning. In the parable of the watchful servants, our Lord Jesus calls us to remain vigilant as we await his return. Though the hour is unknown, his promise of salvation is sure. Therefore, we pray with confidence, come, Lord Jesus. Today we'll be reading Luke 12, verse 35 through 40, where Jesus said, "Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at any expected hour." The word of the Lord.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I cannot begin to tell you how excited I am about today's sermon. First of all, I never had that much technology to work with in a church, so I'm going to start trying things out, and you have to bear with me a little bit here. But also, I'm always slightly concerned that 20 years in the military have given my sermons a certain armed forces vibe. And I've tried to tone that down a bit, but today I simply cannot, because this parable practically demands military imagery. Jesus says, "Dress for action, and blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes." And immediately, that takes me back to being on guard duty. And I've spent countless hours on sentry lines. And I'm sure the ones that served and that are here today, they remember those times. Cold nights, heavy gear, too much coffee, not enough sleep. And let me tell you, it is tedious. It is cold, it is boring, and staying alert through the long hours of the night is no small task. You stare into darkness. You hear sounds that are probably nothing. You fight your own body. Your eyelids feel like they weigh 5 pounds, and nothing ever happens. Hopefully. And that is precisely when vigilance matters most. Because it is easy to stay alert when something exciting is happening. It is hardest to stay alert when nothing is happening. And when Jesus says, "Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes," I feel a very particular chill, because I immediately think of those poor souls whom the sergeant major found not awake on his rounds. Yep. Some of you know him. Now, I think the American military calls it chewing out. And let me just say, historically speaking, falling asleep on sentry duty, that was once punishable by death. So chewing out is probably even the better version. And for a good reason, you know, it needs to be punished because you need to be aware. Lives are at stake. So yes, this parable gets my attention. But it's not the only thing I'm excited about. I'm also excited because when I read this parable, I could not help but to think of one of my absolute favorite movie scenes. It is from Lord of the Rings, which I love, and I'd always planned to base a sermon on it someday. But now the opportunity presents itself quite early in my ministry. And so this sermon is going to be doubly rewarding. And let me share a short video clip with you. Gives me goosebumps. Now, there are a couple of elements in that scene that illustrate our parable really well. And now I have to give a short explanation for those unfortunate few who do not know The Lord of the Rings. It is a trilogy, and the scene we have just watched is from the final movie. Mankind's last great fortress against the onslaught of dark forces is under siege. The people are holding out, but they know that they are fighting a losing battle, and hope is fading. Does that sound familiar? I think it's a pretty strong picture of life for many of us who battle temptation, despair, and our own fallen nature. How many people today have quietly concluded that Christ is not coming? How many have stopped watching? How many have let the lamp grow dim? Now, this is interesting because the author of The Lord of the Rings, J.R.R. Tolkien, he was a devout Christian, and he built profound Christian imagery into his work. In his world, mankind has no king, only a promise that one day a king will return, reforge his broken sword, and deliver them from evil. But many do not believe that promise any longer. They trust in their own strength, and they know that this strength is failing. And again, does that sound a little bit familiar to the world where we live? Now, in the story, there exists an ancient system of beacon fires, which we have seen. a chain of watchposts across mountain peaks meant to call in allies in time of need. But again, despair has set in, and the guards, whom we've seen loitering and not really being very watchful at all, they no longer believe that help will come. They have lost faith in the promise and in their fellow men, and so the beacons actually stand unlit. And we all know people like that, the grim, the bitter, the cynical, those without hope. And if we are honest, some part of us feels that way at times too. But back to the Lord of the Rings, there are few in that world that remember the old promises, a few that cling to hope. A faithful remnant exists, just as it does in our world. And they decide to act. They resolve to light the first beacon. Now let's analyze that. At the beginning of the scene, we see the watchmen that are neglecting the beacon, having dinner. They're not guarding it because they believe the light will go unnoticed anyways or ignored. But an old man and a very small one, a hobbit, a halfling, those who seem least capable of relying on their own strength, they still believe the light might be seen if somebody would only kindle the lamp. So they bypass the inattentive guards, and you can see them being distracted while somebody's already up there messing with the light. And these few hopeful souls, they manage to light it. And then something extraordinary happens. The distant watchmen on the mountaintops, who have remained vigilant for hundreds and hundreds of years, they see the flame, and one by one, they light their own beacons. The fire spreads. The light races across the land. And at the end of that line of lights, we see a man sitting, looking up, seeing the last flame, and rising to his feet. There he is, and he sees the final light on the hill, up there on the mountain, a small light. And guess who that man is? Yes, that is the king that they are waiting for. And the title of the book and the movie, they say it all. It's called The Return of the King. So without spoiling anything, I think we can guess what happens next. Someone returns in glory to save the world of Middle-earth from the onslaught of evil. Now, Tolkien did not write that by accident. His world longed for the returning king, a broken sword reforged, and the promise fulfilled. Does that, once again, sound familiar? But here is where we were going to stop the analogy, and it must be handled a little more carefully, because in Tolkien's world, the watchmen light the beacons to summon the king. In the gospel, we do not summon the king. He is coming, whether the world is ready or not. And Jesus says, "Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning." We are not lighting beacons to call him down. We are keeping our lamps lit because he has promised to return. Now, there is a difference. We are on watch, not to create salvation, but to receive it. And yes, that does sound intense, guard duty, vigilance, readiness, but listen carefully to how this parable actually ends. When the master returns and finds his servants awake, what does he do? Does he inspect their posture? Are they straight-backed and on guard? Does he bark commands and leads them into battle? Does he reward them like a commanding officer, gives them a medal? No. He seats them at a table, and he serves them. Now that is not military discipline. That is grace. Our king has already come once. He's already fought the decisive battle. He's already conquered sin and death. We do not stand watch wondering whether victory is possible. We stand watch because victory has already been won. The beacons are lit, and we simply keep them burning as we await his return. And he does not return to make us fight again. No, he returns to seat us at his feast. The belt he will fasten is not a sword belt for war. We remember Ephesians. We talked about it last week. It is the belt of truth. And what is that truth? The truth is that God is faithful. That the word of the cross is the power of God for us who are being saved. That Jesus Christ died for our sins and that he will return. The vigilance of the Christian is not anxious fear. It is faith holding on to the promise. 2 Timothy 1:7 says it. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. We stand watch, not because we fear punishment, but because we trust our King. And when he comes, whether today or at the end of the age, he will serve us. The Lord of glory, the judge of all creation, he serves us. Are there words for that? Is that not beyond all comprehension of this world we live in? Is that not worth staying vigilant for? He prepares a feast in the presence of our enemies. He anoints our heads with oil. Our cups overflow. And we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.
We give thanks to God for all that God has given and continues to provide for us. Please join me in our offertory prayer. Merciful Father, we offer with joy and thanksgiving what you have first given us, ourselves, our time, and our possessions, signs of your gracious love. Receive them for the sake of him who offered himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We join together confessing our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord God, you have called us to be your faithful people on earth, your church. Keep us awake for your hour of glory and grant that we may receive you with open hearts when you come. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, you know how long the hours of the night can seem and how weary our watch can become. You know the worries and the burdens and the fears that distract us from our calling and draw our eyes away from you. Renew us with your Holy Spirit and strengthen us day by day, especially those who may be sick or anxious or in distress or in any kind of fear. Give us your strength and guidance, Lord, in your mercy. King of the universe, you sent your Son to heal the sick and restore the broken. Be near to those who cannot stand watch with us today because of illness or frailty. Those at home or in the hospital, especially we pray for Betty Ellerbrock, Kathleen Krenwelge, those on hospice, Emma Hirschfield, and Bill Petmanke, and for others, Lord, that are going through trials and tests and treatments. Grant them your peace and your strength, Lord, in your mercy. Lord God of heaven and earth, we come before you today to ask humbly for your gift of abundant rain to once again water and nourish this earth and this land to sustain life. And help us to be thankful each and every day for all the gifts that you give us, Lord, in your mercy. Eternal Father, this fallen world is haunted by war. And as our sisters and brothers deploy to the ongoing conflicts in the Middle East and all over the world, we ask you to keep them safe and bring them home to us. Be with them as they stay vigilant in the face of danger. Lord, in your mercy. Now, Lord God, strengthen and guide us as we now pray that prayer which you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We sing our closing song.